Our conversation with the head coach brought to you, as always, regardless of year or decade, by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. We have a lot of ground to cover, so let's get to Tuesday afternoon real quick. First, have you ever seen anyone block six shots without leaving their feet?
No, very impressive. I told him today, I said, since when did, I actually drew it up. Like, a person's jumping, that's a block shot. They get it in the air. The ball's left the other person's hands. You know, it's clearly a block. The swipe in front of the nose, not sure about it being a block. I think it's more of a deflection, a steal. I mean, if it makes Canner happy, let's roll with it, but I don't know.
Everything makes Canner happy. I mean, you learned that before.
That's probably true. He's pretty happy-go-lucky guy.
As good as Jason was early, and obviously Ennis doing his Ennis things in the second half there, Max and I just found ourselves during the game locked on Gordon all afternoon. Just the decision-making. We could lose our minds about the 21- and 22-year-olds in this league, several of whom we're going to see this weekend on the other side. But sometimes it just seems there's no substitute for that comfort that comes with experience.
Just made so many good plays. And I think there's a lot of games where he ends up with, you know, 9 shots or 11 shots and scores 12 points or whatever the case may be. But he always makes the right play. And I think that makes it easy to play off of him. And I think it also has a contagious effect. And so that's going to be a big deal this weekend. Certainly going to be a big deal tonight, especially with Kimba out of the game. You know, I think Gordon's going to be asked to play make quite a bit. Sure, they'll give him a lot of attention, and then he's just going to have to make the right read.
Gordon is an interesting topic, and so is Kimba being out, because you have known this day was coming for a very long time. The schedule completely changes starting today. It's 23 games in the next 42 days, and it starts, as we said, with Kimba out. How much of an idea, a sketch, do you go into this stretch with, in terms of, you know what, next Wednesday is the front end of a back-to-back, that may be the day to rest player X? How much of that have you at least penciled in? Because obviously real life is going to do what real life does.
Yeah, against the Spurs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you just take into account is you can plan all you want in this league, and then stuff's going to crop up. So, like, this flu bug hits Kimba. He's out tonight. We don't even know if he's going to travel yet. We're going to find out during the game if he's going to travel or not to Chicago or meet us in D.C. We don't know. So those are two games that if he misses tomorrow, you didn't plan on necessarily, that may affect your plans down the road. So I think it's an exercise in futility to try to map it all out. Some of this will happen by unfortunate circumstances. And then, you know, other parts of it, we have a general idea of how much many games, how many minutes, etc. We want guys to play max per week, and so that will be when it comes into play. And without a doubt, as we get towards the latter part of this stretch, you know, we'll pull guys here or there, but we're not there right now because, you know, obviously we haven't had as dense of a schedule up to this point as everybody else has.
This would have been just the seventh time you'd have the top five guys that you talked about before the year together, and obviously that isn't going to happen. Atlanta has been the same way with their top two, and yeah, they're very young, and yes, they've lost a lot of games. But what's interesting is that Trae Young and John Collins have played very few games together, and when they do play together in this age of that sort of high pick and roll, that combination, especially with where Trae Young shoots from, that it came up. I had a conversation with, as you know, things can get fascinating when you're sitting with Scal and sitting with Danny Ainge. Conversations get interesting, and it sort of came up how the game has changed. And for whatever reason, that was the pair that I brought up in this conversation, because when you watch them and you realize where he shoots from, man, that's tough. Yeah,
it's nasty. The Collins, I think, well, first of all, Trae Young is skilled to 30, as you said, skilled to 30 feet. He can make shots. He can cross you over at that depth and make shots. He can get by you. He can go right. He can go left. He rejects screens. He's just a shifty, good player. But maybe his best attribute is his ability to read and see. And he makes all the great passes. And those lobs to Collins are just so hard to guard because he keeps you on his hip. He plays with great pace. He'll look off a helper, and then he'll throw a late lob, or he'll look at the lob and hit where the helper should have been. It's just a really difficult guy to guard. If you get yourself in rotations against these guys, you're probably in trouble. We need to be as tight within our system and within our shell as we can be. Because I think the other part of that combo is I think Collins is the fastest guy to the rim in the league. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of guys that are awfully tough to stop in the pick and roll and the lobs. And, you know, we've got a couple guys that can catch it way above there. But as far as point A to point B speed to the rim and catching it way up there, I think Collins themselves is really, really good.
On the other side of the coin of this crazy young starting lineup, starting five that they have, there's going to be history in the building. It's funny, Zdeno Chara of the Bruins last night became the latest NHL player to play in four decades. There are a lot of NHL players. There are a lot of Major League Baseball players who have done it remarkably. And yet tonight, Vince Carter is going to become the first to do it. And you have seen now in 7 years what is required. Forget talent. Just physically to play at this level. To play 22 years and to play, I mean, the four different decades is where the 22 years happen to fall. But it is stunning the physical dedication that that would require.
And emotional,
yeah,
and mental, and just like getting yourself ready every summer to get back on the court as everybody else is getting younger, which means you've got to be even better with all those other things, you know, the flexibility, the condition, the diet. You know, you just have to hold yourself to an even greater standard as the age gap grows. And I think we've seen the most special do it here when you talk about Brady and yeah, and Chara. And for this sport, for basketball, Vince Carter at 42, I mean, I think, pretty sure we graduated high school the same year. And I know how I feel every morning after yeah, I do like a 15-minute jog. Yeah. So I can't imagine playing, but he's quite impressive. And they wouldn't have him around if he wasn't a great guy who really embraced being a leader. And I think that that's something that also is a great testament to him, because it's hard to go from a star or an all-star to being a role player with younger players, and he seems to have really embraced that.
That's the head coach. One of the things I always found amusing when you first came here were the nights that Kevin Garnett or Paul Pierce or Ray Allen would come back to Boston, and people would stick the microphones in your face and ask yeah, you about the – right, which is funny because obviously you weren't here.
I met him once.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Your arrival in the NBA overlapped with the final, what, maybe 2% of David Stern's term
yeah,
as commissioner. Yet, I know you spent time with him. I remember him coming to the preseason gala one of the years in the last few years. Everybody, regardless of whether you got 10 minutes with him in your life or you worked with him for decades, everybody has a very strong opinion on this iconic figure that we lost this week.
Yeah, very sad. Obviously did an incredible job as commissioner of the NBA, impacted the game in so many ways, impacted the people within the game, both here in the United States and clearly from a global impact. You know, like very few, if any others have. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to get to know him very well. I think he was in one coach's meeting. I remember the first time I met him, he kind of busted my chops about being a, you know, college coach. But I remember thinking, man, he's really got it figured out. He really knows what's best for this league. And, you know, I knew we were in good hands with Adam. But I knew that he had had a great predecessor who had set us off on a great course that, to be honest, with everybody that's in the league now is taking advantage of all of that work that they all put in, as well as the players put in, as this thing really grew.
That's the head coach. New decade begins. Celtics and Hawks next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.